ॐ निधये सर्वविद्यानां भिषजे भवरोगिणा गुरवे सर्वलोकानां दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः यन्नित्यमानन्दमनन्तमेकं शिवेति नाम्ना श्रुतयो गृह्णन्ति तस्यावतारो नररूपधारी कृपासुदाब्धी भुविरामकृष्णः जननीं सारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रुत्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चात्वेष विज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृताय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजो वारिमृतां यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तघोकं सत्यं परं धीमहि जयति जगति माया यस्य कायाधवस्ते वचनरचनमेकं केवलं चाकलय्य ध्रुवपदमपि यातो यत्कृपातो ध्रुवोऽयं सकलकुशलपात्रं ब्रह्मपुत्रं नतोऽस्मि सत्यव्रतं सत्यपरं त्रिसत्यं सत्यस्य योनिं निहितं च सत्ये सत्यस्य सत्यं ऋतसत्यनेत्रं सत्यात्मकं त्वां शरणं प्रपन्ना निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुकादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः नारद ऋषि ट्राइड टू रीजनरेट ज्ञान वैराग्य युक्त भक्ति थ्रू द चैंटिंग्स ऑफ उपनिषद एंड गीता बट ही फेल्ड वंडरिंग द वेज द मीन्स ऑफ रीजनरेटिंग देम ही वॉज वॉकिंग टूवर्ड्स द फॉरेस्ट ऑन द वे ही मेट हिज स्पिरिचुअल टीचर एंड आस्ट इज देयर एनी वे टू हेल्प देम Sanat Kumara, the spiritual teacher of Narada, told that you have to work according to the nature of the Yuga. This is Kali Yuga, materialistic age. Therefore, people's mind is naturally towards material gains, naturally towards material desires. So, instead of spreading Upanishadic teaching, which are meant for highly qualified seekers, you should spread teachings of the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. In that Srimad Bhagavatam, the same teaching of Upanishad is given, of course with a little bit of sweet stories. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spiritual scripture meant for this Yuga. Teneyam Vangmayi Murti प्रत्यक्ष वर्तते हरि सेवनात् श्रवणात् पाठात् दर्शनात् पापनाशिनी इट इज द स्पेशल एंड मोस्ट यूजफुल मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ द लॉर्ड भागवतम आर एनी स्क्रिप्चर इज द स्पेशल मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ द लॉर्ड इन रियलिटी गॉड डजंट हैव एनी फॉर्म बिकॉज गॉड कैनॉट हैव एनी फॉर्म In reality, why? Because anything which has a form is limited by space. That which is limited by space will be limited by time. That which has limitations of space and time is subject to destruction. So God has to be one entity without any destruction. God has to avoid destruction, He should not be limited by limitations of space and time. Therefore, God in reality cannot have any particular form, but He can manifest through all the forms, and in fact He has manifested through various forms. Why He has manifested through various particular forms, which we call as avatara? The reason is, scripture says, being identified with the body-mind complex, humanity finds it difficult to conceive the infinite. All our sense organs are turned towards outside, and they are meant to know only limited things. Paranchikhani vidinat swayambhu tasmat parang pashyati na antaratman. So every sense organ, which happen to be the primary source of knowledge, are turned towards outside. Turned towards outside means what? It can know the properties of the thing. It cannot know the substance of the thing. Name and form only it can know. So therefore, it finds difficult to even conceive the infinite. Even mind also cannot conceive the infinite. But at the same time, human mind longs to find out the nature of the Lord. It has a longing, inner urge. Nobody teaches that. There is an inner urge in every mind. What is the end of all these things? Who is the cause of all these things? Where is he sitting? Does he have any role in my day-to-day life? Like that, there is a natural urge. When it is not able to conceive, at the same time, when it is longing to transact with that Lord or transact with that reality, naturally there is a necessity on the part of the Lord to provide this solution for this particular longing. Anything which is a need, Bhagavan has to provide. That's why from our childhood onwards, whatever is our need, it is provided. A small fetus need one particular incubator type of atmosphere, so mother's womb is provided. When the child comes out, it cannot eat some other thing, so from the mother's body itself, milk is provided. After some time, again external cow milk. Like that, air, space, water, anything is a need, so Bhagavan provides that. Similarly, this is a spiritual need of the humanity, therefore he has to provide this. In Sufi mysticism, a story comes. There was a great saint, Sufi saint, Hussein Hayri. His name was Hussein Hayri. And he was teaching about the Allah. Naturally, that description of Allah given in the Quran is what? Bhagavan doesn't have form, but he has qualities. So a devotee heard, but he want to transact with that Lord. How can he transact which doesn't have any form at all? So one day he was a shepherd boy. So he was sitting lonely and started crying, "Oh Lord, where you are going to come, when you are going to come, if you come, I will give something," this like that. So he was go on telling. There was a mullah who was passing through. Then he heard this prayer. Then he came and scolded this boy, "Hey, what you are talking? How can God come in front of you? And how can he, you can give something feeding? How can he eat? He doesn't have mouth. How can he come? He doesn't have leg." Like that, he told the formless God, described about the formless God. After hearing this, this shepherd boy started crying, "Oh Lord, so far I thought you have legs. Now they are telling you don't have legs also. So who will take care of you? At least if you have legs, you can take care of yourself. Now you don't have legs also. Who will take care of you, oh Lord? I thought so far you are at least mouth, you eat now and then, proper food you are eating and you are healthy. Now they are telling you don't have mouth also. So where you are eating, when you are eating, how you are eating, how you are healthy," like he started crying like this. All this drama, this Sufi saint was seeing. Then he called that mullah. "You are appointed by the society as a preacher of Allah. Instead of creating devotion in the minds of the devotees, you have spoiled already whatever is there in the mind of the devotee." Like that, he is called. So that necessity to transact with the Lord is very, very intrinsic. When that is there, when humanity has a longing to love the Lord, when it understands the limitation of the sense organs and mind, and when prayers goes above, Bhagavan manifests through special forms. We call these forms as avatara. In Bhagavadam, it comes, varieties of avataras are described. Avatara hi asankheya. Innumerable special forms we call avataras. Among them, 10 are selected. Then they have called avatars. But not only 10, it is innumerable. Infinite cannot become finite, but infinite can appear as finite. This is the difference between entire Vedic religion and other religions. Space cannot become room space, but space can appear as room space. The form helps us to transact with the infinite. When we transact with the infinite through a form, do we transact with the form or do we transact with the formless? When we transact with the room space, do we transact with the room or room space or space? We are transacting with the space only through the medium called four walls. Similarly, when a person worships the Lord through form, he doesn't worship the form. He worships the formless through forms. So, there is a blaming that Hindu religion is idolaters. We are not idolaters. We worship the infinite only through the idols. Every devotee knows that there is a Shivalinga and it is limited and it is inert also. Everybody knows, he touches that. He knows that. So he doesn't go to temple and say, "Hey Shivalinga," like that he doesn't. "Oh Lord, oh infinite Lord." So in and through that medium, he tries to transact. Why these forms, particular forms are called special forms? Speciality, not with regard to content, but speciality with regard to splendor and extraordinary acts. There are two criteria, external criteria and internal criteria. What are the external criteria? Speciality, it's a splendor. Splendor of that particular form and extraordinary acts of that particular form. And internal criteria are spiritual wisdom given out by that particular form and moral supremacy, because of which the entire humanity got guidance through that particular form. Though this entire creation is the form of the Lord, human mind wants something special. According to Veda, the entire creation is nothing but a form of the Lord. It is Virat. That's why in Vishnu Sahasranama, if you start chanting, first nama is what? Vishwam. Vishwam means what? Creation. What is the first name of the Lord? Vishwam. That means what? Very Vishwam is equal to Bhagavan. So these five elements, space, fire, air, water, earth, everything is nothing but the manifestation of the Lord. These universal laws are the manifestation of the Lord. Then flora and fauna, aquatic creatures, animals, plants, human beings, devatas, rishis, even asuras. Bhagavan cannot exclude anything. Being infinite, he cannot exclude anything. All of them are nothing but his own manifestation. Vedic rishis knew this fact and used every finite form to transact with the infinite. Ordinary turmeric powder is enough for us to invoke big Ganesha. That kitchen turmeric powder is there, na? Just add that turmeric powder with water, make it as Shivalinga type. Asmin Haridra Bimbe Sarvajnam Sarvagatam Ganesham Avahayami. Where you are invoking the omnipotent and omniscient Ganesha in that Haridra Bimbe. Haridra Bimbe means what? Turmeric powder. Like, we invoke the idea called nation through national flag. We salute the nation. How we salute the nation? How can you salute the nation, you tell? You salute the nation through national flag. You sing the glory of the nation through national anthem. So you respect it through certain emblems, certain logos, certain forms. So these logos or forms serve as a medium for our respect and worship. In every religion it is there. Only thing is they are not accepting it. If you take Christianity, there is a cross. Whenever a person sees a cross, naturally his mind goes towards the Lord. Whenever a person sees a crescent, naturally that person's mind goes towards the Lord. But he doesn't say that Crescent is Lord. He doesn't say Crescent is Lord. He says, through Crescent I approach the Lord Allah. Through 7, 8, 6 number. Even number can appear as the medium for your worship. So every religion has this, but they particularly, because of prejudice, they criticize this Hindu religion. Hindus are having lots of 33 crores of devatas. We have only one devata, and that devata is infinite devata, but through any form, any medium, I can approach. Why only particular cross or particular crescent I should approach? Correct? So that idea is there in the religion. You cannot transact with the infinite directly, but you can do it through finite forms. Since the entire creation is his own manifestation, in this Vedic culture, we cannot dishonor anything. What is the greatness of this Vedic culture? According to other cultures, other than certain particular things, like say for example crescent or Kaaba or cross, other than these, all other forms are not honorable. You can desecrate other forms. But in Vedic culture, no Hindu can desecrate another forms belong to another religion, another sect, another belief. So through any form I can invoke this Lord. Not only through any form I invoke the Lord, I consider every form in the creation, including water, rain, mountains, plants, everything is for me, is the manifestation of the Lord. Nothing is insignificant for us. Since everything is connected with the Lord and everything invokes the presence of the Lord, even animals invoke the presence of the Lord. Whenever we see a small rat, immediately our mind goes to Ganesha, because that small rat, it is creating trouble. But still what we do, we are a little bit religious people, what we do, we try to make it to get away. We generally don't kill it. And a snake, poisonous snake, threatening one, remains as a Lord Shiva. And bull, cow, hen, swan, every, whether it is bird or particular bird or animal, we respect. And that's why Kurma avatara, Matsya avatara, like that. Even fish also is our form. See, when infinite includes everything, you can touch that infinite through any mode. So you need not travel to somewhere else to touch the space, because it is available. In fact, you yourself is the part of that infinite. That's why you need not go to temple also. In this same Vedic culture, there is a group which says that you need not go to temple also. If you have the capacity to invoke the presence of the Lord in your own body, you can do it. Even when you go to temple and start doing puja, what they say? You have to meditate first and invoke the Lord in your heart, and through your nostril, through your prana, you have to bring out that Lord and invoke that Lord in the flower or any other thing. Then after puja is over, what you do? Yathasthanam bhavatu. Yathasthanam means what? From where you came, please go there. Where you came? You came from my heart, so therefore you go back. So actually what happened? What is the source of that ritual? Invoking the presence of the Lord within my body. Due to this wisdom, everything in the creation is given proper place in our culture. That's why we could not destroy the nature. We were friends of the nature. It's all ecological problem now modern society is facing is what? Because of absence of this attitude. I cannot destroy anything. I have no power to destroy. In the process of destroying something, I am going to destroy it. This knowledge is absent. I can use it. As even I am using it, I should make care. I should make sure that for the posterity also, the same facility is available. So I contribute and make use. I contribute. If I cut one tree, 100 saplings I have to plant. So why 100? Why 1:100? Because there is a possibility 99 may get away, or 100 also may go away. But still, from my angle, I contribute to the nature first, then I use that nature. So nature was not at all exploited in this Vedic culture. Nature was revered and protected. So entire creation was revealed as the manifestation of the Lord, but human mind wants something special, special with regard to its splendor, special with regard to the great acts. Why I am not able to consider my own child as a great avatara? Even though every parent love their own children, they don't consider their children, child as a avatara. In fact, that is avatara only. And they call in another way, a avataram. It's a scolding word in Tamil language. Why? Because that child doesn't have that much of splendor which Krishna had. The child doesn't have that much of capacity to lift the mountain. Great acts. The child doesn't have, of course, that much of knowledge to tell Gita. So I cannot accept my child as a avataram of the Lord, manifestation of the Lord. So human mind wants something special, something grand. Therefore, Bhagavan has to come in the form of certain particular forms called Sri Ramchandra, Sri Parashurama, Sri Krishna, Sri Ramakrishna, Shankaracharya. Like this, special forms are necessary. These forms invoke reverence, wonder and love towards them. Why it invokes? Why others are not invoking, other forms are not invoking? Because these forms are the condensation of certain grand principles of human life. Their life was full of morality and their mind was full of wisdom. They have contributed to the society. Due to their extraordinary acts for the welfare of humanity, these particular forms get more attention, love and wonder. So we come to know about them. How we come to know about Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, Sri Ramakrishna? Not directly. Certainly not directly, but we got them through the scriptures written by contemporaries. Indirectly, we came to know about them either through their words recorded by someone else or through the contemporaries who have described, who have wondered the particular personality, and through their recordings we come to know. These recordings we call secondary sources of scriptures. Their physical form did not stay for long. Though their physical form disappeared, though it is available for certain particular people in their meditation, in their mystical experiences, the particular form is what? Rama's form, Krishna's form. Physical form is already disappeared. But still it is available for the devotees who are totally carried away by that particular form and life and teaching. For them, in the form of vision, in the form of meditation, it is available. But whole humanity cannot get benefit. Whole humanity cannot see Rama like Tulasidas. Whole humanity cannot see Krishna like Mirabai. So they have to raise their mental personality, purity and other thing. Then only that Aprakrita Divya Murti, they call it. The difference, one of the difference between the ordinary human forms and the extraordinary avatara's forms is what? This one only. After our departure, if anyone sits in meditation to see us, he cannot come. Understood? Because our personality is what? Deha. But they had one more personality along with the Deha. Content Atma is same for all. Whether it is Ishvara, or aquatic creature, or ordinary human being, or even avatara, substance Atma is same. Body also is same. But there is, within that body, there is an aprakrita divya murti, they call it. That body doesn't come through particular mother's womb, need not come. Like Narasimha avatara, Narasimha avatara body did not come from mother's womb, it came from a pillar. It is available, but it is available for visions, for meditation in the hearts of the devotees. but it is not available for a common man. Common man did not remember that he has a contemporary of these avatars. Suppose if I remember, I was a contemporary. Suppose I can remember. So I went along with Rama. When Rama came to meet Guha, I was in that crowd. A lot of crowd is there everywhere. So if I remember, okay, no problem. So either I should have been contemporary, or I should be able to raise myself to the level of Tulasidas or Mirabai, or at least I should have past remembrance that I was living with Rama. When Rama was in Ayodhya, so many millions of people were there. When he was going to forest, so many people cried. I could have been one among them. Some punya karma I could have done, but still I am not able to release myself from the samsara because qualification not enough. So I might have got one more birth now. So I should have, if I remember, then it is nice. So nothing is there for common man. So what is the way? Scripture is the only way. Scripture is the only way to enjoy the glory of the Lord. Therefore, scriptures are considered to be special manifestation of the Lord. Understood? Veneyam Vangmayi Murtihi Pratyaksha Krishna Heva. That Vangmayi Murti. So the status of the scripture is what? Equal to the avatara. Generally, what we think about scripture? Book written by someone. But the tradition considers scripture is more useful than real avatara. Because real avatara had a lot of limitations. That avatara could not convert the cantankerous personalities. Krishna could not do anything with regard to Duryodhana. Suppose if same Duryodhana comes to satsanga, year after year that satsanga can be told, hey, this is the thing, this is life. So even Duryodhana has a possibility of changing his personality. So that which could not be done by Krishna can be done by scriptures. And that particular form has time limitations. But for scriptures, there is no time limitations. Therefore, not only his scriptures are Vangmayi Murti of the Lord. Vangmayi means what? Form, which is in the form of words. Shabda, Shabdamayi Murti. Not only they are Shabdamayi Murti of the Lord, they are powerful Murti of the Lord. Powerful than the actual Krishna. Because actual Krishna, even while living, how many people he contacted? Now Bhagavatam Krishna, millions of people are getting benefited, connection. Connection through Bhagavatam Krishna is million compared to, very very high compared to the connection with the actual Krishna. Therefore Sanat Kumara Rishi told Narada that Bhagavatam is his Vangmayi Murti. That Murti will help. Srimad Bhagavatam Pratyaksha Krishna Evahi Tirodhaya Pravishtoyam Srimad Bhagavatarnavam. There is a description how Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna, gave up his body. So all are waiting. Now he is going to go. One story is there, what? Some hunter came and gave an arrow and the body disappeared. Another story, all are waiting. After giving instruction, spiritual instruction to his disciple Uddhava, which is called Uddhava Gita, Bhagavan sat in the meditation. And after a few minutes they saw, in the place of meditation, Bhagavatam is there. Bhagavan disappeared, in the place of meditation, Bhagavatam is there. That's what he said, Tirodhaya Pravishtoyam Srimad Bhagavatarnavam. He entered into the Bhagavatam. So what is the pramana for this? Sanat Kumara Vakya only is pramana. Sanat Kumara Rishi says, Tirodhaya Pravishtoyam Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavan entered into the Bhagavatam in the form of words. Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna's life, we come across one particular incident. Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna was practicing Madhura Bhava during a particular period in his life. So wherein he was considering himself as Radha, lover of Krishna. In that Bhava, he was sitting near the Radha Krishna temple of Dakshineshwar campus. So he was wondering, they are telling Bhagavatam also is Bhagavan, Bhakta also is Bhagavan. How can it be like that? You will wonder. Bhakta means Radha also is Bhagavan, and Bhagavatam also is Bhagavan like that. How can it be like that? He was wondering. Suddenly he had a vision wherein from the murti of the temple Bhagavan Krishna comes. He says, I saw Bhagavan Krishna. Then he entered into the Bhagavatam. Then again from Bhagavatam he came out and entered into me. Bhagavan, Bhagavatam and Bhaktaha are same. He is the same. Bhagavan is equal to Bhagavatam is equal to Bhaktaha. What Bhaktaha? Banana Bhaktaha nahi. Radha type of Bhakti. Gopika's type of Bhakti. Jnani Bhaktis. So, there is no difference between Bhagavan's Murti and Bhagavan's Shabda. Nama Rupa Ek, he is to say. Bhagavan said, Nama and Rupa cannot be differentiated. Whenever you utter a word, naturally in your mind, the corresponding form comes. Whenever you experience a form through your eyes, naturally the corresponding name comes. So there is no difference between Nama and Rupa. And Rupa is enjoyed by humanity by one particular sense organ called eyes. Bhagavan's words are also enjoyed by that humanity by another sense organ called ears. Understood? So in what way ears are lesser than eyes? In what way ears are lesser than eyes? Eyes report the form of the Lord. Ears report the Shabda of the Lord. So you cannot say the eyes are the greater than the ears. You cannot say. There is no difference. So since the instrument of knowledge is not a, there is no gradation between one instrument of knowledge and another instrument of knowledge. There is no gradation with regard to the knowledge received by those instruments of knowledge. Correct? You have received Krishna through eyes. I have received Krishna through ears. You cannot claim your Krishna is greater than my Krishna. And your Krishna is time limited Krishna. How many hours Krishna can stand in your vision, you tell? Or how many hours you can see the physical form of Krishna, you tell? Maximum 120 years. But I can see thousands of years. I can hear his words thousands of years. Both these sense organs become the media for the Lord to enter our heart. Ultimately, where is the residence? Our own mind, inner mind. Either he enters through the eyes or he enters through the ears. The entering wala is only one, Krishna only. Therefore, we should have that conviction. The Krishna which was enjoyed by Gopikas, the Rama which was enjoyed by Anjaneya, Hanuman, same Rama I am going to enjoy now, same Krishna I am going to enjoy now. So Bhagavan enters through our ears and removes our impurities and sufferings. When Sanat Kumara told this, immediately Naraji requested his guru to explain the glory of the Lord in the presence of Bhakti Devi, because his mission is what? Somehow to help Bhakti Devi. So please, please, oh beautiful chance I got now. You are the great person, only qualified, because Bhagavatam can be told only by jnanis. That's why the very source of Bhagavatam is now we are discussing, how Bhagavatam came into existence. This story, all these stories which we are discussing in the last class and this class, comes in Padma Purana. Another story will come in the very Bhagavatam itself, that we will see afterwards. So this story is to show the greatness or the glory of the Bhagavatam and how it helped the Bhakti, Jnana and Vairagya. So Narada Rishi requested Sanat Kumara, please we all sit together and you please tell the Bhagavatam. So they all went to the bank of Yamuna, sat around Bhakti Devi and her old two children, Jnanam and Vairagyam. Sanat Kumara explained the glory of the Lord, glory of the great devotees like Prahlada, Dhruva, Gopikas, Ambarisha, like that, and explained the benefit of spiritual life explain the benefit of bhakti, benefit of knowledge, benefit of renunciation. What is the benefit? Why should I hear about someone? Let him be God. Why should I hear about someone? I am troubled by so many things and I don't have time also. And within that period, anxious period, you say that please hear about the Lord. It is like telling a poor beggar is begging for money. And you say, I will tell you the glory of Anil Ambani. In what way it is going to help him? Hearing the glory of a rich man is not going to help the beggar. Similarly, I am in samsara. And you say that you are going to explain the glory of the Lord who doesn't have samsara. And after hearing, I should get jealous also. Correct? So in what way it is going to help me? Hearing the glory of the Lord is going to help me in what way? Immediate help is what? Shanti. Immediate help is shantihi, triptihi. Suppose a person is suffering out of certain humiliation. Suppose somebody scolded that person, it is not going out of his mind, so he was untroubled by that same words. Suppose he comes to a sadhu. Then sadhu says one story. Story of Draupadi's humiliation. How Draupadi was humiliated in that Rajya Sabha. Then after hearing what this man had said, Appa, I am saved. I have not gone through all this humiliation. I am in better condition. Correct? Understand? So hearing the glories of the Lord means hearing the glories of the devotees, because God cannot be described without describing the devotees. Without describing Prahlada, you cannot talk about Narasimha Avatara. Understand? Without describing Bali Chakravarti, you cannot talk about Vamana Avatara. Without describing Uddhava, you cannot talk about Krishna Avatara. Without talking about Hanuman, Anjaneya, you cannot talk about Rama. So glories, explanation of glories of the Lord means what? Explanation of the devotees of the Lord. So immediately it gives one sense of shanti. Sense of freedom, sense of fulfillment is created. Because human mind has its own concept of success, has its own concept of fulfillment, has its own concept of tripti. If I get 1 crore rupees, then only I will be satisfied. That is what? Concept of satisfaction is what? I should get 1 crore. And you go to Bhagavatam, you find a beggar is so much satisfied without even a naya paisa. That means what? Your concept is contradicted. So you see the possibility of being fulfilled without even having 1 paisa. So for which you will try again? You will not go for it. Because you don't go to 1 crore for 1 crore purpose. In the very first class itself we saw what? Atmanastha kamaya sarva priyam bhavati. People go to money for what purpose? For the satisfaction of themselves. They want satisfaction, they want tripti, they want shanti, they want fulfillment, an idea of fulfillment, an idea of that I have succeeded in life. If you define the success in terms of money, one who has lot of money is a successful person, if you say, then Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna is an unsuccessful person. If you define the success of life with regard to the capacity of enjoying the sense pleasures, then Swami Vivekananda is the most unsuccessful person. He did not enjoy any sense pleasure at all. And if you define that success is equal to getting more and more name and fame, Mother Sharada Devi is the most unsuccessful person. So what is the definition of success of life? You cannot define that wealth is the criterion for success, or name and fame is the criterion for success, or even sense pleasures are the criterion for success. So what is the criterion for success in our Vedic culture? In our Vedic culture, they told only one criterion. Are you happy and fulfilled? How much you have, we don't bother. How much you are satisfied? how much you are happy. And they have told that to be happy, to be satisfied, you need not have all these things. You should not have, he did not tell. You should not have money to be satisfied, you should not have sense pleasures for to be satisfied, he did not tell. You need not have. That means what? Money, sense pleasure, name and fame becomes optional. It is optional. If it is given by the nature or by your hard work or by Lord, nice, enjoy it. But you cannot be worried about that it is not given to me, that it is not given to me, that it is not given to me. Because there is no connection between the money and satisfaction, no connection between name and fame and success. There is no connection. So all this teaching, where you get? Where you get? In, from the scriptures only get. So far you have an idea of success in life. And because of that idea, every moment of your life is you are running. Third age onwards, running, 40 years over, that running stopped. Why? Because you have to prove yourself. You have to prove yourself as a successful person. And you should have satisfaction. And for satisfaction, spouse is necessity. Then children are necessary. But to have spouse and children, you should have money, wealth. For wealth and money, you should have PhD degree. So, big project. 25 years project it is. And there is no guarantee that after going through this 25 years project also, there is a possibility of success. Because go and interview those who have 5 children and 50 acres of land and 5,000 crores. So, scriptures alone teaches us that how to be happy with wealth or without wealth. With people or without people. With knowledge or without knowledge. Let it be or let it not be. But your happiness is not connected. Wherever there is a knowledge that there is no connection between satisfaction and your happiness. So you are ready to give up anything at any moment. Because you know that it is not connected. It is a external only. External it is. It is not going to reduce your happiness, satisfaction or purnatvam. So therefore you can happily give up anything for any good purpose. Otherwise what happens? As even price rises, BP also rises. Oil price rises. So all food articles price rises and BP also rises. Why BP rises? Shanti gets decreased. Understand? So this understanding gives you a courage to face the life. Once you have that courage to face the life, then shanti and tṛpti is inevitable. Wherever this bhakti, jnana and vairagyam is there, Bhagavan's presence will be there. The sense of purnatvam, the sense of shanti is very, very natural. Gaining this purnatvam is the highest gain. You gain everything in your life. For what purpose? To gain this purnatvam, this shanti, this tṛpti, this satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness, security. Everything we go for in human life is for what? I should be purnaha, I should be secured, happy and fulfilled, peaceful. That's why in Gita Bhagavan says, yan labdhva cha aparam labham manyate na adhikam tataha. Having gained which? No other gain will be considered as the greatest gain. When he talks about the glory of this knowledge and glory of the teaching of the scripture, he says, after gaining this knowledge, this understanding, no other gain is going to be considered as a great gain, greater gain. Not that you need not have that. You can have that. You need not have that. Understand? So it is called Parama Purushartha. What is called Parama Purushartha? Gaining this Purnatvam is called Parama Purushartha, highest human achievement. Everyone should struggle for this. And in fact, everyone struggles for this only. Shastra says, first, everyone should struggle. Then afterwards it says, everyone is struggling for that only. But in wrong direction they are struggling. All human struggle is for the sake of Purnatvam, for the sake of security, peace and happiness. And this human search is universal. Wherever you go, whichever community you ask, whether it is tribal community or well-educated professors of Oxford University, you go and ask, do you want to be unhappy? Do you want to be insecure? Do you want to be without peace? He will ask, he will tell, no, I want to be happy, peaceful and secure. So it is universal, unchangeable. 1 lakh before also, years also, this is only goal. Now also this is the goal, and after 1 lakh years also it will be the goal. What will be the goal of human life? Gaining this fulfillment. And Shastra says, the very fact that you want it all the time, the very fact that you want it all the time, you want what? Purnatma or fulfillment, want all the time. So it should be now and here. That which is a permanent should be now and here. Without knowing this, you want something permanent from impermanent things. You want something unconditional from conditions. What you say? If I get wealth, I will be fulfilled, you say. And that fulfillment should stay permanently, you say. See the contradictions? If you have put a, then it should be permanent, you say. So how can you hope to get something unconditional through, in and through the conditions like a wealth, people or education? This is contradictory in terms of understanding. If anything is permanent and unconditional, it should be here and now. How can you hope to get something permanent? Getting means what? Impermanent only. Anything you get, before getting it was not there. After getting also it is going to go away. So permanent thing cannot be attained in future, and more importantly, permanent thing need not be attained in the future. Cannot be attained means what? Temporary. Permanent thing you cannot attain. Only temporary things only you can attain. Then one more statement it adds, need not be attained. Why? It is available here and now, being permanent and unconditional. In Sanskrit they say, aparam che praptavyam, param che jnatavyam. If it is a aparam, limited, conditional, you have to gain it. It is away from you in terms of space or in terms of time. Correct? That's why you have to do something and get it. But if it is infinite, if it is unconditional, if it is permanent, permanence means what? Infinite with regard to time is called permanence. Unconditional means what? Infinite with regard to causality. It is not limited by conditions. It is called unconditional. So, param chet jnatavyam. When Shastra says it is there already here and now, this fellow says, if it is there here and now, why should I search? Nobody taught me that I should search for happiness, but still I search. So the day one onwards I was searching my mother's breast. Kwa, kwa, kwa. Kwa means in Sanskrit, where it is, where it is, where it is. You know, the child cries, kwa, kwa, kwa. What is the meaning? Where it is, where it is, where it is. What it is, you don't know. So mother simply gives the breast, that's all. What the child wants, where it, that it, it, it is there. What is the meaning? The child may be searching for infinite. The child may be searching for the Lord, which is the child saw in the womb of the mother. Every child gets the darshan of the Lord in the womb of the mother. Scripture says. So, walk, walk, walk. Where it is, where it is, where it is. So, mother understands, child wants milk. So, give the breast. So, slowly, everything. child cries for something, mother understands it in another way and mother gives it that thing, whatever her own understand. So aparam chet praptavyam, param chet jnatavyam. So why I cry if it is there already? Dasra says, you don't know that it is there already, therefore you cry. Cry can be because of two reasons. Either you don't have, therefore you cry, or you may have, but you are not able to recognize it, therefore you may have cry. So it should be already with you, recognize it and own it. When devotion, discrimination and dispassion, DDD, triple D, bhakti, jnana, vairagya, our Acharya Swamiji is to codify this, triple D, devotion, discrimination and dispassion is there in the mind, then you recognize this fulfillment. This recognition is the highest human achievement. You become the blessing to the society if you have recognized your fulfillment. No comparison, no competition, no jealousy, no cutthroat, no cheating, no harming. If you have gained this knowledge, gained this fulfillment through that knowledge, what is the benefit? Society is safe because of it. Society is safe because you will not have jealousy, cutthroat, you cannot cheat anyone, you cannot harm anyone. At least for the sake of social security, hey humanity, please gain this knowledge. That is the teaching of Shastra. All Mahatmas, all Jnanis are blessing to the society. And this Jnani or Mahatma is the real Sriman. Why? Because his Sri, which is in the form of his understanding, cannot be taken away by anyone. All your other Sris, whether it is in the form of wealth or in the form of name and fame or in the form of degrees, the degree certificate can go away, na? Suppose if you got that degree by studying properly, knowledge will stay, even though degree goes away. If it is gained through some other dubious methods, along with the degree, knowledge also gone. You cannot claim. So every human achievement, being achievement, is subject to go away. Understand? So he is the real Sriman. Who is the real Sriman? A Jnani is the real Sriman. Sri means what? Wealth. Ashta Lakshmi. In our culture, Sri is called Lakshmi. Ashta Lakshmi. Eight types of wealth is there. Dhana, Dhanya, Griha, Santana, Vijaya, Virya, Aishwarya, Vairagya. These are eight types of Lakshmis are there. But nowadays people understand wealth means what? Money. He wants only Dhana Lakshmi. Dhanya Lakshmi also he doesn't want. Agriculture nobody wants now. Without agriculture, how you will gain that money? People are not interested. Even governments are not interested in agriculture. And Griha Lakshmi, not interested. Santana Lakshmi, not interested. The person, the businessman, is so much interested in Dhana Lakshmi, no time for even wives, no time for children, no time for studies, no. And in that list, Vairagyam also is one Lakshmi. Renunciation is one Lakshmi. Capacity to renounce is a wealth. And people don't know the spelling of renunciation. Renunciation means it is like balm in their ears. It is Lakshmi. So Jnani has all this Lakshmi. He is a real Sriman. Yeah, there is a story of a real Sriman. When Krishna was living in Dwaraka, there was a Brahmana. He was a poor man. So he wanted to arrange the marriage of his daughter. In those days, since they don't have any salary, Brahmins don't have any income or salary, society took care of them. So these people will go to any rich man, that rich man will provide. So he went to the Raja of his country. He addressed, "Hey Sriman, you have to help me. I have arranged my daughter's marriage. Please help me." Then the Raja told, "I can help you, but because you have called me, hey Sriman, so I am not the person, actual person addressed. So you have addressed me as Sriman. So the Sriman only should give to you. I am not the Sriman. There is Yudhishthira, emperor. You go to him." So he sent him to emperor Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira, lot of wealth and other thing. Newly Indraprastha is there. Then again he went to Yudhishthira and addressed, "Hey Sriman, please help me." Yudhishthira also told, "I can help you. Helping for marriage or nothing. But since you have addressed me as Sriman, since I am not the qualified person for that word, the real Sriman is Bhagavan only." Sriman means what? Who is the master of the Sri? Who is the master of Sri? Lakshmi. Bhagavan Vishnu only. And fortunately now he is in the form of Avatara. Lakshmi also in the form of Rukmini Devi. Go to Dwaraka and address him. So he thought of giving up this word Sriman at all. This word only creating trouble. But Yudhishthira told, no. Please go there. So he went to Dwaraka. It was a nice opportunity for him to have darshan of the Lord Krishna. So he went there. He addressed, "Hey Sriman, please help." Then Bhagavan told, "I can help you. But this epithet, hey Sriman, I am not qualified for that epithet." Then it was a shock for the Brahmani. If the Lord is not qualified for the Sriman, whom I should call? Then Lord told, Krishna told, a Sriman means what? He's a free man, master. But I am not a free man, I am a slave. Slave of whom? Slave of whom? When you are coming towards Dwaraka, on the way, you could have met one person sitting on the garbage. You remember like that? Krishna asked. That Brahmana told, yes. I was coming towards Dwaraka. One fellow was sitting on the garbage with kaupina only, not even proper dress. And I was coming and he was calling me, "Hey Brahmana, please come. I will give whatever you want." Like that he was calling me. I thought, this fellow doesn't have even proper dress and sitting on the garbage and he is going to give money and he is telling, "You need for your daughter's marriage money, I will give," like that he was telling. I thought, not only this fellow is beggar, this fellow may be madcap also. So as even I heard all these words, I started running, Bhagavan. Finally I reached here safely. Like that he recalled the entire episode and told to Krishna. Then Bhagavan Krishna told, "I am the slave of that person only. He is a great jnani. I am the slave of that person. And he is a man of wisdom." So Bhagavan says there, "Sakala bhuvana madhye nirdhanaste pidhanya nivasati hruti yesham shri harer bhakti reka harirapi nijalokam sarvathato vihaya pravishati hruti yesham bhakti sutropanaddha." Hey Brahmana, I am bounded by their bhakti. They have tied me with a rope called a bhakti. So Hari Rapi Nijalokam Vihaya. He cannot live there. Anywhere in Vaikuntha or Dwaraka, whatever it may be. Any moment he calls me, I have to go there. So I am not there under my control. Same statement will come in the Ambarisha story. You will see that. So Bhagavan will tell that I am the slave of Ambarisha, I am slave of Jnanis, I am slave of great devotees. So we should understand the glory of this knowledge, the glory of the person who gets this knowledge. And you imagine, if you get that knowledge, how nice it will be. You can say, "Bhagavan is my slave." Happily say. You can happily say. When Bhagavan is there with us, what about you need to worry? There is a question of anxiety. There is a question of sorrow. So Sanat Kumara told this when the Lord is in anyone's heart, then what more he needs in life? In life, everyone needs security, peace and happiness. And Bhagavan is there in that heart. It is very natural. If Bhagavan is not there in anyone's heart, what can give this peace, security and happiness? Therefore, the first duty of any human being who wants to be happy, who tries to be happy, is he should cultivate love, devotion and discrimination. Singing the Lord's glory and divine place will help him in cultivating that love. Two types of love. One is Siddha Bhakti, another is Sadhana Bhakti. Siddha Bhakti you get, ultimate love you get, unconditional love, absolute love you get by practicing Sadhana Bhakti. Sanat Kumarji told one more thing. Even the most cantankerous people, poppies, sinners, get purification. Even ghosts are purified by hearing the Lord's name. Like that Sanat Kumar had told. So Naraji was interested in that story. Oh, ghosts also got purified. Ghosts also got bhakti by hearing the Lord's glory. Please tell that, what is that story like that? So Sanat Kumara will tell the story of a ghost which got a shanti, which got tripti, which got a freedom from fear through the hearing, listening to the Lord's glories. That we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Tadevaram yam ruchiram navam navam tadeva shashvan manaso mahotsavam tadeva shokar navashoshanam rana yaduttama shloka yashonugiyate gopika jivanasmaranam govinda govinda.